Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part 6 of a 7-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, with today's message specifically entitled Cornerstone, based off of Matthew chapter 17 verses 1 through 11 and Psalms chapter 118 verses 1 through 2 and 19 through 29. So let us dive into the Word today. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks, 'What are you doing?' just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in the highest heaven!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied,
"It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Amen. And now for Psalm chapter 118, verses 1 through 2 and 19 through 29. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God shining upon us. Take the sacrifice and bind it with cords on the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Amen. Just like every building has a cornerstone, the first stone from which the rest of the building is built, humans have a cornerstone from which their lives are built. And there are a number of different cornerstones that humans choose from. However, there can be only one that a godly and rich, that will lead to a godly and righteous life. There can only be one that will lead to a godly and righteous life. To illustrate, let us look at our own country. The cornerstone of our country is its economy. And people might suggest that freedom and liberty are at the cornerstones. However, those are more or less ideals rather than a cornerstone. And we look to our economy to express and or attain life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the midst of COVID-19, one of the major concerns was the economy. Don't believe me? We're all practically, most states, 90 some odd percent of us are in lockdown right now, told to stay home, our liberties being restricted in order to get rid of this pandemic. Now, of course, human lives are good part of why we're doing that. We want to save lives. But on the other end, we also want to get rid of this pandemic as soon as possible so that way people can become healthy again and can one day go back out and start shopping and building up the economy to hopefully where it once was. The idea is to avert any sort of depression. I'm not sure we can do that, but that's the idea. So the quicker we get rid of this, the better everything goes back to normal, including the economy. So one of the major concerns was the economy. And in fact, if you look at it, we originally resisted doing this lockdown, the social distancing, because we thought it was going to have too much effect on the economy. And then when we realized that the economy was tanking with or without us, we decided social distancing might be the way to at least, yeah, we're putting ourselves into a recession to begin with. You know, we're stalling the economy, but hopefully that will allow the economy to bounce back once everything goes back to normal. And we just passed a $2 trillion stimulus bill, now that we are social distancing, in order to hopefully avoid further economic downfall. Not only is this bill unprecedented in the sheer amount of money, but it was passed in an unprecedentedly quick and bipartisan manner, which in my view is doubly unprecedented given the way Congress works nowadays. And Americans look to their economy as their cornerstone. But let's be honest. Economies rise and fall. And if that is where our hope lies, all is lost. We all have a cornerstone in our lives. The cornerstone is that which we place first in our lives. It is that which we prioritize and prize above all other things, from which the rest of our lives are built out from and built upon. Now, for many of us, our cornerstone is our family. For others, money and financial wealth. For others still, their social lives and status. For some, health, safety, and security. For others, having power and authority is their cornerstone. In Matthew, we come across a very familiar scene, one of which needs very little painting for people to picture. Jesus has his disciples go ahead of him to secure his transport into Jerusalem, a donkey that will allow him to enter as a humble king. The act, as we know, will be scandalous to the leaders and joyous to those looking for the coming of the Messiah. I won't spend any time repainting that scene as we all know it. I would, however, like to turn our attention to the politicians, the religious leaders, and to the crowd. Each one of those groups were built upon different cornerstones. Let's look at the politicians. They were built upon their power and authority. And Jesus' claim, should it come to reality, Jesus' claim of being the humble king entering into Jerusalem, if that were to become reality, that meant an end to their rule. It was a threat to them. And the religious leaders were built upon the Torah, or rather their authoritative interpretation of it, of which Jesus was not always in line with, so he challenged their authority as well. The crowds were built upon the hope of liberation from Roman oppression, which Jesus was seeming to fulfill this moment, but would quickly disappoint. Now, each cornerstone was the wrong kind of cornerstone in the eyes of God. Later in Matthew 21, Jesus pointed the people around him to Psalm 118, verses 22 through 23, where the psalmist wrote, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is beautiful to see." In other words, Jesus was saying that while he is the true cornerstone, the way, the truth, and the life, people were rejecting him for other cornerstones. And the Lord was going to use that rebelliousness to bring about salvation into the world once and for all. With an essential yet rejected part of the foundation God was building, an indestructible kingdom before their very eyes. Wow. So let me ask you this. Where do you see yourself in this? What have you built your life upon? Some of you may think, "I'm Christian. My life is built upon Christ." Awesome. And I mean that, awesome. With that said, have you found yourself ever putting other things above Christ? Perhaps money, or your family, or your children, or your jobs. For now, hold on to your thoughts and put them aside for a moment, while we listen to Caitlin as she shares her journey toward accepting Christ as her cornerstone.
I think as a kid, you go to church because your parents bring you to church and because that's what everyone does on a Sunday morning. And you go to Sunday school without really knowing why you're going. And I think now that I'm a little older, when I went into high school, I was kind of able to form my own ideas on what it means to be Christian and what it means to believe in God. As a teenager, I think I'm in a part of my life where there's a lot of change and there's a lot of transition happening. And it's comforting to know that I'm not alone with my problems. And I feel kind of secure in myself. So if there's an obstacle in my life or something that I'm stressed out about or uneasy, I have to realize that it was put there for a reason and I'm meant to learn and grow from that. And I think that type of reassurance is something that not everyone has in their life. Now that I'm getting ready to go to college and a lot of people are talking to me about what I'm gonna do with my future, my belief is something that is helping me through that because I have to realize that all of this was planned out for me already and that even though I'm not sure of what I'm going to do, like it will happen and it's going to work out for me. Well, now I go to church because I want to and because I feel like I have something to learn and something to offer. And it's nice to come to a place where there's a community of people that are all here for the same reason. Everyone is so nice to me, like even though I'm a kid and I'm allowed to be a part of the chorus and speaking, and I feel accepted. I know, like, being in high school, not a lot of people are openly religious or don't really talk about that kind of stuff. And I think without having to mention God or Christianity, you can be a good Christian, you can be kind, you can be selfless to other people and show that without really having to bring religious into it or anything like that.
Like Caitlin, most of us can remember what life before Christ was like. I mean, we all were kids those of us who grew up in the church, when we were forced in some ways to go to church by our parents, and we went because we had to go, not because we necessarily wanted to go. Most of us have been there. Most of us can remember when we look toward other things to be our cornerstone. Perhaps we look toward our parents, or we look toward our friends, or we look toward other things to be our cornerstone. Perhaps some of us still look at worship as more of an obligation or a fulfillment of one's lifelong routine. If that is the case, I challenge you to seek Christ out and make him your cornerstone. In fact, I challenge you all to seriously reflect on whether or not Jesus is your cornerstone. Now, these last several weeks, I have made the spiritual case for Christ, and I will continue to next week as well on Easter Sunday. But as Easter approaches, continue to build up your spiritual practices and grow in your faith. I pray that on Easter Sunday, you experience the resurrected life just as Caitlin has. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this challenging message and for reminding us that you are the cornerstone, and that no matter how much we can reject you, you are the stone from which the kingdom of God is built upon. And so if we want to have any part in that kingdom, we must accept you and follow you and build our lives upon you. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for all that it is that you have done to bring about salvation in the world, and all that you have done in inviting us to be a part of what you are doing, to help be the builders of this kingdom that you are bringing into the world. And so we, Lord, thank you and praise you for all of these things, and ask that you continually strengthen us so that we may be ready and prepared to do the work. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, friends, I'd like to thank you for coming and joining me for this podcast and tuning in. I always enjoy having you here and being able to share my thoughts on what the Bible has to say regarding any given topic. And today, as I said, is the sixth part of the seven-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, with today's message specifically entitled Cornerstone, and I thank you for joining. I'd also like to invite you to check out the episode notes, as there are links there for you to check out, including the link to the video that that you heard in this message. With that said, friends, I'd like to remind you that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. So be that blessing. Go in peace. Amen.